guys get happy. Hello and welcome to the film and TV show Near FM's fresh look at what's happening in the Irish film and television industry. Today on the show we have a review of Kate Hudson's new movie Good People. We take a look back at an old Irish favourite, The Quiet Man. And of course we have all our regular news features to keep you up to date and keep you happy. Yeah, you're very welcome to the film and TV show. It's Thursday, it's 3:30, it's sunny again. And we're here joined by a full team today. We have Felicity back from holidays, back from the beach. We have Gemma and we have Dan.
Ahoy, hoy. You're looking at me as if you're expecting to say it now.
I was just waiting for the ahoy, hoy.
Ahoy, hoy.
Did you come up with your catchphrase yet?
Is that your catchphrase? That's Dan's catchphrase.
Yeah, Dan's good. Ahoy, got in early with the catchphrase, yeah.
Simpsons.
Need to work on that one.
No, just hola.
Yeah, hola. Are you going for the Spanish?
Catchphrase. Sorry, oh, okay. Hola.
Just hello, then, is it?
Just hiya.
Hiya. How about that one?
Hiya.
How are you?
That'll catch on.
How are you?
Just people saying it in the streets.
As always, we're going to kick off with Gemma and her IFTN news. So, Gemma, what have you got for us this week?
An interesting little festival. It's not in Ireland. It's in Shull in Glastonbury. But if anybody has a short film that they'd like to be screened, they're accepting all short films and they're pretty much going to screen them all if you're going to send them to them. Anyway, it started yesterday, but it's running till Sunday, and it's unique in the sense that it doesn't have any films in a cinema. They're all pretty much around the village of Shull in Glastonbury. So it's...
Isn't Shull in... I don't mean to correct you here,
sorry.
But isn't Shull in Ireland?
Is Shull in Ireland? I thought it was...
Is it? I think it is, yeah.
Oh my God.
Because it's the Corona Fastnet Short Film Festival.
Oh, that does that look familiar.
That is Irish. But it does feature two shorts that are set for the Glastonbury Film Festival.
I think that's where the confusion is.
Before people start ringing in.
Ringing in. Don't give them the number.
There's the phone going out.
Sorry, I thought it was not in Ireland. Anyway, yeah, so yeah, you can... So you can totally... No excuse not to go now.
Yeah, go to show, yeah.
But they're not screening in any cinemas. They're all in pubs, restaurants. Some are on the sides of buildings, shops, galleries. So it's kind of interesting if you wanted to go down.
Yeah.
Life is a Breeze, starring Pat Short, will be...
Pat Short again?
Screening. Yep.
He's in everything.
He's in everything, isn't he?
He's that fella. The IFTAs again, the Film and Drama Awards, they start on Sunday, May 24th. The nominees are Mo Dunford for Patrick's Day, Colin Farrell for Miss Julie, Michael Fassbender for Lenny Abraham's Frank, which we did last week.
Yes.
And Jack Rayner for Glassland. So Lenny...
They're all men.
And then there's also...
It's Best Actor,
yeah. There's also nominees for Best Director. That'll be coming up as well. Lenny Abrahamson, of course. He's got to be in it.
Yeah.
He's won 4 IFTAs for Best Director. So this will be his 5th if he's won it.
Basically, every film he's done has got Best Director, has it?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Film he's done again.
Anything with a name in it. Man's name. Frank. Adam and Paul.
Adam and Paul. Garage.
Doesn't have a name.
Has Pat Short.
Short.
He is.
What Richard did,
yes.
Yes.
It was very good. That starred Jack Rayner as well.
Mm-hmm.
Who's up for Best Actor. So that's kind of the IFTAs this week.
Mm-hmm.
Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah.
Is set to star alongside Annette Bening, who was in The Kids Are Alright, for a film called The Seagull. Has anybody seen this film? It's a play. It was adapted into a film in 1968. Very interesting story. Yeah, Anton Chekhov's.
Oh yeah, heard of him.
It's based in Russia. It's a nice kind of love story, so if you can check it out, that's going to come out in 6th of November. And Chris O'Dowd as well is set to star alongside Julianne Moore in Can You Ever Forgive Me?
It's a great title, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer
is.
Good actors behind it.
Yeah, so it's the story finds is Israeli. It says Moore, so I'm assuming it's Julianne Moore is playing.
Julianne Moore, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she, as a respected biographer, who runs into financial difficulties, and she starts, very interestingly, basically fabricating letters of famous dead writers and celebrities in order to drum up money to keep her roof, to keep a roof over her head. But then when the work begins to raise suspicion, she goes one step further. And she starts to rob letters from library archives.
My God.
And selling them.
That's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good.
And really good idea, Felicity?
It's,
really
it's just a really good idea, yeah. Mm.
In both sides. Not advocating
roof over your head.
Robbing or anything.
No.
Especially
no,
not from libraries.
Not. No.
But yeah, so it's an interesting concept for a film. The FBI are onto her. So,
yeah.
But will she get caught? Who knows?
We like Saoirse Ronan, I think, do we?
Yeah, well, she's in The Seagull.
Oh, sorry, that's The Seagull, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just also an interesting story.
Chris O'Dowd is in that one.
Chris O'Dowd is
with
in
Julianne Moore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, what else has happened this week? IFI, the Pete Walsh Critical Writing Award, has been won by Skip Kites, 2004, Tony Benn, Will and Testament.
Mm.
So that's the film that won. It's actually a documentary. But it's won a writing award, so I'm not really sure. But
yeah.
It's about Tony Benn. He's longest serving Labour MP in history.
Yeah, big fan. I'm a big fan of Tony Benn. Yeah.
Are you? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, very, very left wing.
Very left.
He's very socialist. Yeah.
He's very radical.
Fortunately, passed away recently.
Yeah. He did.
So this is it's a lovely documentary. He's arguably the most popular UK politician of all time. It's kind of struck a chord with people of all ages and social backgrounds, and you should try and go and see it, Paul.
Yeah.
If you're
okay, I will.
If you're a fan,
I just like the name Skip Kite.
Yes, I know. Yeah,
that's a really good name, isn't it?
Yeah, I
wish I was called Skip.
No,
life would have been easier, I think, would it?
Life would have been. You probably would have had a boat.
Yeah.
Hey, Skippy.
I would have gone to Hollywood.
Sailed through life. Famous.
Oh, well done, Felicity. Ooh. Sailed through life, yeah.
Has anybody seen this Survivalist? It's an Irish film.
No.
I actually met this actor, funnily enough, last weekend. Martin McCann. He stars in, it's a film, a thriller called The Survivalist. And it's an interesting story, actually. The Survivalist is a near to the future story of a man, Martin McCann, who lives in a secluded small holding deep in the forest. And when a starving woman and her teenage daughter discover his farm, his loneliness drives him to strike a bargain with them in the return for bed and board. You obviously know it's going to go pear-shaped at some point.
Mm.
But as desires become stronger than necessary, the exchange becomes uneasy. Ongoing arrangement which threatens not only his carefully constructed world but also his life.
My God.
You would really if you were kind of living isolated
in the
somewhere
woods.
And some, you know, two other people rocked up.
Yeah, especially women.
Two women.
If you're a man on your
maybe
own.
One woman you could cope with, but two.
Two.
Alone in the woods.
Alone in the woods.
No, that's going to end badly, isn't it?
Mm. But so it's set
for him
to,
or them, I wonder.
That's what it's all about, you know. You have to just go and watch it to see. But it's going to be distributed in North America. So, I met Martin McCann last weekend. He's really nice. He's quite short, which is good for
all
me because I'm quite short.
All male actors tend to be short.
Do they?
Yeah.
For some strange reason. Yeah. They've got big heads.
Short.
That's what
they
it
do
is,
have big
weighing
heads.
Down.
Big heads actually work really well on screen.
It's true.
And you don't need the big legs to go with it.
Wow.
It's true.
Interesting.
It's a valuable insight there from Felicity.
Wow. I'm impressed. Well, he's quite short. He's actually lovely, though. Really,
what
really
else
nice.
Has he done?
He did another film called Jump.
Heard of that one, yeah, recently.
He was in, Love, Hate or something?
Probably.
He's won an
probably
IFTA.
We'd know that.
He's won an IFTA
over to
in
Dan
2011.
For that
I'll have to look him up.
Yeah, he's quite good looking, actually.
And when's that on, then? That's coming up, is it?
It's due to be released in North America, so that's huge for Martin McCann as well, for the film. So it should be pretty good. How are we doing? FI documentary?
One more, quickly.
The documentary festival, formerly known as Stranger Than Fiction, the IFI festival.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
So that's been expanded to 5 days and will take place between September 23rd to 27th, 2015. So they're accepting feature-length documentaries and short documentaries. So, but it cannot be previously shown in Ireland, so you can't have it on YouTube, can't be on TV or anything like that. It has to be debut.
Can't be in Shull, wherever that place is.
Apparently it's in Ireland. I really should have known that. Yeah. I'm so embarrassed. So if you have a documentary...
And nobody's seen it.
That's nobody's seen, that hasn't been featured before.
Which would be unusual, because somebody's...
Not even the editor can't have seen it.
Can't be seen by Irish people.
Send it in.
The feature length is 60 minutes and the short is over 20 minutes. So send it to ifidocfest@irishfilm.ie.
Sounds good. Shall we have a bit of fame?
Woo! Yeah.
We're joined now by Nina for Nina's Carnival section, where she looks at the IFI film base and festival news. Kicking off with the IFI, Nina, this week, what have you got for us?
Well, there is A Fuller Life by Samantha Fuller, about the filmmaker Samuel Fuller. Well, in it, a lot of his friends and people he worked with are talking about him and reading from his memoirs. And there is also archive footage. I mean, a lot of people will know him. I mean, he was the youngest reporter ever to be in charge of the events section in the New York Journal. And then he also became a quite successful filmmaker. I mean, people might have heard about his controversial piece White Dog in 1982, or maybe about his masterpiece Pick Up on South Street in 1953. This is probably going to be really interesting for people who are interested in filmmaking and know some of his movies.
And presumably Samantha Fuller, is that his daughter?
I believe so, yes.
So that's A Fuller Life at the IFI, director Samantha Fuller. And then Chimes at Midnight is an Orson Welles movie showing.
It is. A lot of people will know him from other Shakespearean-related works like Othello.
Third Man, maybe.
That too,
Citizen Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this piece was released in 1965, and it won the 20th Anniversary Prize and Technical Grand Prize at the Cannes Film Festival in 1966. And it is about the character Sir John Falstaff, which appeared in multiple of Shakespeare's plays, most prominent in Henry IV. And this film is taking several scenes from different plays in which he was in, putting them together into a comprehensive story about Falstaff, focusing on the shifting relationship between him and the Prince Hal. Since Falstaff is not a very serious character, he and his prince starts out as idle person who doesn't really do serious. But then the prince has to come to terms with being the future leader of England and becomes less and less reliant on Falstaff.
Right, and Falstaff notoriously is a drunken, obese, yet charming companion. And of course, it stars Orson Welles, Jean Moreau, and Margaret Rutherford, who was the original Miss Marple.
Yep.
My favourite Miss Marple. Then we have a very interesting film at the IFI, A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Indeed. It is in black and white, despite the fact that it only came out in 2014. It has been described as a feminist Iranian vampire western.
Yeah, that's my favourite type of movie.
So, it certainly sounds very interesting. It's based in the Iranian ghost town, Bat City, which has kind of a Sin City type feeling to it. As the name suggests, it's a really, really horrible place. Lots of violence, lots of drugs. Basically, nothing good comes out of it.
Mm.
It's full of death as well. And there is this one lonesome vampire who preys on men who prey on women, which is the feminist aspect of it.
Okay. She preys on men who prey on women. Yeah.
Yes. So in this town, there is this thug who seems to rule most of it with his drug supply and his abuse of people who are reliant on those drugs. Like, for example, the guy, a guy named Hosseini, whose son Arash becomes sort of involved with this girl. The problem with her is that she watches and waits. Basically, she watches the people in the town. She watches, in particular, the people at the top who seem to gain the most. And then she basically preys on those who cross her moral boundaries, but she's never actually quite specific about what those boundaries are.
So if you're into feminist Iranian vampire westerns, that's the movie for you. Finally then, in the main section at IFI, we have a film called A New Girlfriend.
It's a French movie. It is by François Ozon, who also did Swimming Pool. And the story starts with the funeral of a woman named Laura. Basically, after this funeral, her husband David, and her best friend Claire kind of both take some time to grieve, to kind of get over her death. But then after a few days, Laura goes to see David and his daughter because she's her godmother. But she finds a strange woman sitting there in the house, which turns out to be David in drag.
Oh.
So this film is sort of about... It's a story about acceptance, basically, in case of David, to accept who he is, because over the course of the film, he figures out that he feels like a woman. He is a woman.
Yeah.
And in terms of Laura, basically coming to accept another person for who they are.
Yeah, it sounds a bit like the Kardashians, the movie, because the Kardashian father, Bruce Jenner, I think somebody came home one day and he turned into a woman. So people are accepting him as a woman and the family need to accept him as a woman. So if you're into the Kardashians, this is like Kardashians, the movie, but with a French twist.
It's a very good film. I actually went to see it myself, so I can definitely recommend it.
Okay, it's definitely not the Kardashian movie. Okay, and then IFI and Experimental Film Club have Zorn's Lemma. Did I pronounce that right?
I believe so, yes. It's shown on May the 26th at 6:30. It's by the director Hollis Frampton. It's a documentary named after the Kuratovsky Zorn Lemma, which is a proposition of set theory formulated by the mathematician Max Zorn in 1935.
No, that sounds really, really interesting. So yeah, for all you mathematicians out there.
It's a controversial documentary, that can be said. It's prefaced with a reading from an early grammar textbook. And for the rest of the film, which is mostly silent, it shows the viewer an evolving 24-part alphabet, which is composed of the street signs photographed in New York City, which is cycled through and replaced and then expanded upon. What exactly that entails, I couldn't tell you. But the film's conclusion shows a man, a woman, and a dog walking through snow as several voices read passages from On Light or The Ingression of Forms by Robert Grosseste. What has been said about it is that you should not expect a plot.
No, it doesn't sound like it.
Or spectacular photography or instant gratification. It's important to not give up on it too soon because it is quite odd, and you need to take it in fully to be able to appreciate it.
Yeah, sounds pretty painful. And then we have in festival news.
Well, there is the 25th European Union Film Festival in Singapore, which has started on the 13th of May and is lasting until the 24th.
Yeah, and why is it in Singapore if it's a European Union Film Festival? Do they?
I am not certain
they want to
why
be,
it's there. But
do they want to join, maybe? Like Australia joining the Eurovision?
Well, I'm not sure, but it's the second oldest film festival in Singapore.
There you go.
So
there's only three, yeah.
And it showcased a selection of European films, giving local audiences a taste of Europe's diversity and creativity. So who knows, it could just be for the sake of basically inspiring people in Singapore.
Yes, I'm sure they're interested in European films. And they're going to be showing Calvary, I believe.
Yes. First of all, their festival is split up into different sections for each country. And for the Irish section, they show Calvary at 7 p.m. on the 22nd of May. It's also shown at the IFI on Wednesday the 27th at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
If anyone's interested.
And of course, in the latest Cannes news, The Lobster, which we spoke about before on this show, is selling to Alchemy. Alchemy is in final negotiations to acquire US rights to Yorgos Lanthimos' film called The Lobster. Variety has learned the futuristic love story stars Colin Farrell, Rachel Weisz and Leah Seydoux. The deal came 4 days after the film's world premiere in competition at Cannes. Guy Lodge called the film wickedly funny in his review. And Nina, then I suppose we'll have some more festival and film base and IFI news next week.
So we will.
Hello and welcome to Near FM at the Movies. If you're going to do a film about good people doing bad things, you really need to cast likeable characters in the lead roles, and that's why the producers in this case opted for James Franco and Kate Hudson. It's a question and moral dilemma that has been asked many times before on film, namely, what would you do if presented with an opportunity to get your hands on some easy money? Would you question where it came from, who it belonged to, or would you simply turn a blind eye? A young American couple, Tom and Anna Reid, played by Franco and Hudson, fall into severe debt while renovating Anna's family home in London. As they face the loss of their dream house, they discover the tenant in the apartment below has been murdered and left behind a stash of cash, £200,000 worth. Though initially hesitant, Tom and Anna decide that their plan is simple. All they have to do is quietly take the money and use only what's necessary to get them out of debt. But soon they find themselves the target of a deadly adversary, the thief who stole it, and that's when very bad things start happening to good people. Here's the trailer.
Nice one.
Thought it was worth it.
Mike just got me a few days on a good job. I promised you a place to start a family.
You're so lucky to have him.
And you're so lucky to have him.
Tom Wright?
Yeah. You're served.
We're gonna lose the house.
I'm gonna work it out.
Turn it down!
Ben!
Oh, my God.
Can't believe he was down here the whole time.
Ben.
What? Yeah. Oh, my God, Tom.
£220,000. So what do we do?
Detective John Holden.
When you discovered the body, did you find anything else?
The cops came. They didn't find anything. I say we just hide it and wait a week.
2 weeks.
The mortgage, credit cards.
We use cash where we can.
Just enough to keep the roof over our heads.
This could be really bad money.
I know. But what makes money bad? The people make it bad. Not the money. What people do with it.
Hello?
Didn't you know when you find a pot of gold, there's always a monster guarding it?
Your tenant crossed a very bad man.
Whose team are you on?
What are we gonna do, Tom?
There is a way out of it.
Look, we're in this. Maybe this money is a gift.
He's gonna get us killed.
No heroics, no nothing. Just drop and go.
Just remember, you brought this on yourselves.
Get ready.
We're gonna make it.
I'm sorry I got lost in this.
I never needed the house. All I needed was us.
There are a number of problems with this movie. First of all, the amount of money simply isn't large enough for anyone to care. Maybe it's all Tom and Anna need to get out of debt, but it's certainly not enough for supposed criminal masterminds to start shooting at people and police in broad daylight, which is what happens. The film is entertaining enough for the first hour, mainly due to Franco and Hudson holding everything together, but it's the final act where this all falls apart. The bad guy is dispatched way too early, leaving no tension and nothing at stake in the remaining scenes. Our heroes, of course, survive in a happy Hollywood ending in a film we scored a generous 2 out of 5 stars. And that's all for Near FM at the Movies. Yeah, you're very welcome back to Near FM. You're listening to the film and TV show, and we're joined now by Felicity. Hi, Felicity.
Hola.
Welcome back from wherever you were last
Spain,
week.
Yeah.
Spain, very exotic.
Ooh. Yeah.
I'm going to do the whole interview in Spanish.
Whole interview in Spanish, why not? And of course, you were tuning in last week to the show, weren't you, when Dan and Gemma did your spot?
I don't think I got it quite right on the transition to the radio when I was on the
No,
pitch.
Couldn't quite get that.
There was some winds.
Yeah. And so what's new in the cinema this week?
Well, opening tonight at the Savoy is Aerosmith Rocks Donington, for those music fans, especially rock music fans. This concert was captured at Donington Park at Leicester, UK, on Sunday, June the 15th, 2014, where tickets to the live event went for $800.
Oh my God.
They've been around a long time, though, Aerosmith. They're like me, and they've got a good...
$800?
$800, though?
Yep. You're not, so obviously you're not fans of Aerosmith.
Not a big fan. Dan?
So you want to go and see
I
them.
Like some of their songs, yeah, but I wouldn't pay $800 to see them.
You don't have to. You can go and see the live version or the film version of that live concert in the Savoy. And if you pick your time, you could get a see for a fiver.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds about right to me.
Yeah, that's a much, much better deal.
Yes, better option. Also opening tomorrow, Friday the 22nd, is Tomorrowland, World Beyond.
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Is everybody looking forward to that? It does sound actually. Yeah. It's meant to be visually stunning. It's co-written and produced by Bird and his name is Brad Bird and Damon Lindelof.
Okay.
Now Bird did some animated classics: The Iron Giant, The Incredibles.
Yes.
Ooh, yep. I loved The Incredibles.
Ratatouille. They're all excellent.
Ratatouille. I didn't like Ratatouille. I can't watch anything with a rat in it. And the co-screenwriter Damon Lindelof helped create The Mysteries of Lost. A series I never watched.
Oh, Lost, yeah.
Because it went on too long.
Very strange.
I wasn't going to.
The mysteries weren't the best part, I hear, since none of them were really solved.
Exactly. I thought the end, there was a big furore about the ending. But back to this film. This film, Tomorrowland, shares its name with the futuristic-themed land found at Disney theme parks.
Ah, bit of cross-selling there, yeah?
It was... The screenplay was heavily influenced by Walt Disney's optimistic philosophy of innovation and utopia, such as his conceptual vision for a planned community known as Epcot.
Oh yeah, the Epcot Center.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Have you heard of them? That stands for Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. So basically he had this vision towards the end of his life of creating like really planned urban spaces. And of course they didn't actually, you know, I mean, I read about it a little bit. He had some wild ideas, like people that lived there didn't own their property. They all had to have a job.
That's crazy. That's a wild
retire.
Idea.
You couldn't retire. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't retire.
It was really just as long as you worked for Disney, you got to live there.
Yeah, exactly. But he had, like, obviously, like, he had some amazing ideas for urban planning, etc., and how you could live in a, sort of, I suppose, like a Disney theme park. Really.
Yeah.
Not a dirty, grimy sort of city that we've all become accustomed to.
Mickey Mouse for president, that type of thing.
He wouldn't have any voting rights.
I'd vote for him.
Think.
Yeah.
But anyway, this film stars George Clooney, and he and this teenager share a sort of love for invention and science fiction, etc. Except he's lost his sort of enthusiasm for all of that, and he's a bit jaded
because he's old.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That happens. It happens. Mm-hmm. But they share it. They're bound by a shared destiny, and they embark on a mission to uncover the secrets of a place somewhere in time and space that exists in their collective memory.
Right.
Explain that to me. I don't know. But it looks like they're going to go off and...
Their memory is in the past, isn't it?
In the future.
In the future, but in their past. Very strange.
Yes. So it's...
Need a bit of time to work that one out.
Okay. I just opened the trailer, they pick up a button, then they end up in the future.
Oh, a pin.
Yeah.
George Clooney was given a pin, but he lost his pin for some reason, and then the teenager finds the pin and they go off together.
Okay.
And what they're going to do there is going to affect the world.
Humanity.
The trailer looks good.
Yeah, the trailer looks good.
Very big. Should be a fun adventure.
Yes.
On a very different note, but I think this looks really cute. Moomins on the Riviera. It's a kids' film. It's going to be on in Cineworld. And it's based on the central characters in a series of books and a comic strip by Swedish-speaking Finnish illustrator and writer Tove Jansson.
Is it important that he's Swedish-speaking?
Well, I think there were... No. Basically not
Spanish-speaking.
No. Well, but you know, it's meant to, like all the film. It's a feature film of like her books.
Yeah.
They're very very popular. They're very very cute. Have you ever seen a Moomin?
No.
No, what's a Moomin?
Oh, there's Moomin Papa and Moomin Mama and Moomin Troll. You have, Dan, have you?
Dan. Yeah, we have the poster for it up in work at the IMC in Sandry.
Yeah,
we're showing it there.
Yeah, they're really cute. They look sort of like hippopotamuses.
Oh, cute.
Is it? You're not looking convinced. But
it is
have
cute.
A look and see. And they... It's meant to be all sort of like hand-drawn. It's a hand-drawn feature film. So the illustrations are amazing. Like, so that's, and they're on the Riviera. Normally they just stay in Moomin Valley, but sometimes they go off on a little trip. So I don't know what the actual story is, but I'm sure...
They go on a road trip to the Riviera.
Yeah.
For the Cannes Film Festival, presumably.
Yeah, maybe. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
They're nice class to see them. Anyway, these Moomins.
I like them already.
Yep. I like them.
It's nice to see something traditionally animated in cinemas again.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Can you imagine the work that went into that?
Mm. So it's going back to Walt Disney time, isn't it, really? Hand-drawn animation.
Hand-drawn, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Sounds good. I couldn't tell you what the story is, except for the fact that they're on the Riviera. But apparently, like, you know, in her books and everything, there's, like, lots of different strange and wonderful characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, there's a film, Poltergeist. We've all heard of it. It's the remake of the 1982 Poltergeist.
Scary,
It stars Sam Rockwell, Jared Harris and Rosemary DeWitt. Now, I thought the poster looked a bit funny. It looks like Heath Ledger as the Joker from Batman.
Oh.
Yeah, oh, yeah, the clown, yeah.
The clown look about it. But this is, yeah, the it follows the, you know, ghostly stories like of them inhabiting a house and scaring everybody and things flying off. And then I think their daughter is kidnapped and are taken away by the poltergeist and they have to come together and get her back.
Get her back, yeah. The original was great.
That's good,
I didn't watch the original, actually.
Brilliant.
Interesting myth around the original. Apparently the scene where your woman is in the swimming pool and the dead bodies float up, apparently it's... What? Floating around the desert, actual dead bodies.
Really?
That were just grave robbed because they said it'd look more real and they couldn't afford fake props anyway.
I think
but didn't tell the actors.
Though.
That's sort of been. That's something that a lot of people on set have said, but, you know, it's still.
That is hard to believe.
May just be a myth.
If anybody has any facts.
Dan's fun facts, yeah.
To prove that this is a lie, I would really. I can't. Dead bodies.
If you have any proof that it's the truth.
Yes.
Send them
either
in as well.
Yeah. Like
if you were one of those dead people.
If they do it again in the reboot, be sure to send it in, because I'm not seeing it.
Yeah. Moving quickly on to TV and Felicity.
Very quickly. Well, tonight, the big week, it's Eurovision week, isn't it? Is
it?
If you're a Eurovision
fan.
Oh,
it is. Molly's on tonight.
Yeah, she is. This is the second semi-final, so Ireland are in that, and we're being represented by Molly Sterling. And it's live from Vienna, RT1 at 8 p.m, compared by the lovely Marty Whelan. I'm a fan. And, yeah. So, no, I like them.
Okay.
And they're in with Norway, Portugal, Czech Republic, Israel, Latvia, Iceland, Sweden. Mm, Sweden are in there. They're usually very good.
Very good, yeah.
So if we get through this round, then we're through to the live final on Saturday. Saturday is the live final. People go mental for the Eurovision.
They do. People have Eurovision parties.
They do.
I kind of sometimes look at it. It can be a bit of fun, but it can get a bit boring after a couple of songs.
Is Dustin the Turkey representing Ireland again?
No. To be honest, I'm not mad about the song that is representing Ireland. I don't think it stands a chance in hell.
No, I wish
really. Sugar.
Really, no. It's not a Eurovision song. It's not.
If you listen to the podcast, what a shame.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. I'll be watching Game of Thrones instead anyway.
Okay, and then also on tonight's start, there's a new series on RT1 Thursday, 11:15 p.m. It's Gallipoli, and this is an Australian production to mark the 100th anniversary of Gallipoli.
Yeah.
Which was the famous battle in World War One, and Australian and New Zealand troops, for the first time, entered into a world conflict on the side of the Allies. So this is... it's a 7-part series, and it tells the story of two brothers who go off inevitably to the war and finish and
lovely
fight. Sorry.
Okay, so we're going to have to leave it there, and we're going to have a bit of Eminem now. Bit of Eminem there from 5 Mile or 8 Mile or 6 Mile. 6 Mile Bridge. That's a place.
Miley Cyrus? No.
Could have been Miley Cyrus as well. She
oh, that's a horrifying thought of her covering that song.
That's a horror movie. Now, of course, it's time for Dan's dig into the past. Dan has a shovel out, as always. And you're digging quite a ways back in time this week, Dan.
Yeah, I noticed we were doing a lot of more recent stuff, so I went pretty far back to The Quiet Man from 1952, I believe, wasn't it?
Oh my God. Yeah. Felicity remembers that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we get a lot of requests in here, but this was one that my dad, my brother, and a good few others told me to watch. So
some of our listeners, yeah?
Yeah, so I told, why not? All the listeners that I knew before I started here. So, it stars John Wayne, Maureen O'Hara, and Barry Fitzgerald, and it's directed by John Ford.
Yeah.
John Wayne plays a retired American boxer who returns to his birthplace in Ireland to live in the house he grew up in. While he's back, he falls in love with Mary Kate, who's played by Maureen O'Hanlon.
O'Hara.
And as time passes, their relationship proves to not be as stable as it was when they started out.
She's feisty. Trouble in Paradise.
She's feisty.
She's Mary Kate.
She's still alive, Maureen O'Hara.
She is amazing.
She's about 90 something.
Yeah. Wow. Seriously?
Yeah.
She's often in Ireland, actually, isn't she, too?
She what?
She's often in Ireland.
She is, yeah. She's very Irish.
Different festivals and give out awards and receive awards for her work. What not? And she's great in it. It's
like
a great movie.
Well,
Dan's not convinced.
I'm saying it's a movie of its time, I think. Yes. Like, a lot of the laws and a lot of the stuff and how it all plays out is stuff that really only applies to that time period it was made in.
Yeah.
So, like, the control John Wayne has over Mary Kate just wouldn't, like, fly these days. Like, there's a scene where she's going to the train. He just grabs her and drags her 5 miles back home while townspeople are following him, cheering him on.
That's true.
Yeah.
It is
a sort of modern day version of Taming of the Shrew. You know what I mean? Because it follows along, you know, the Shakespearean play.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Kate, her name is Kate as well. And she's like the shrew and nobody wants to marry her. And, you know, Richard Burton plays opposite Elizabeth Taylor. I'm going off the point. But, you know, it's kind of... But no, there is a scene in it where Maureen O'Hara really does speak up for her because she's fighting for her dowry from her brother. Because, as you say, it is of the time. So she is being controlled by some extent by men, her brother and now her husband.
Not very
PC. She is looking for her dowry.
And she does, like... John Wayne does drag her to her father and just say, if you don't pay me 350... Euro, I'm not going to be married to your wife anymore.
Euro.
Pounds. Pounds.
I know it was back in the day, but...
Shillings and pence,
A whole straw penny.
It's showing in the Chester Beatty Library as part of the Bealtaine Festival, and it might appeal to people of a certain vintage, shall we say.
Vintage. Very good word.
Yeah. It's on the Chester Beatty Free next Wednesday, the 27th, at 2 p.m. and there's no booking required.
That's fantastic.
You just walk in.
That's brilliant.
This film does have pretty huge fan base, and if you've loved it before, I'd say you will again. So go see it on a bigger screen while you can.
When it comes on the telly, it's one of those bank holiday movies.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a real Easter,
isn't it?
Easter film.
Is it Gemma? You on the couch with the mum again?
But yes. I actually don't like The Quiet Man because I'm a bit of a feminist. I am a feminist. Sorry. So it didn't really strike the right chords with me. It's all a bit too national and Irish as well. I don't know.
I suppose it's of its time, though, isn't it? They wouldn't make it today, but
true. Yeah.
I think it's carried off well by the two main characters, though. Like, it is a love story too.
It is.
Yeah, even if they just clearly aren't in love anymore, it's about on par with the love story from Goodfellas.
They are in love. They're in love at the end, aren't they? They love each other. They get their
spoiler alert.
Or do they?
Or do they?
Do they?
Yeah, no, I heard they
hate
each other. Anyway.
So go ahead, Dan, what else have you got?
I said that it was sort of thrust onto me as a comedy. My dad said it's one of the great Irish comedies, and after watching it, I'm just, what were you talking about, Dad?
What?
Dad, I know you're listening, and there were parts I laughed at, but no, it's not a comedy.
No, it's not a comedy.
Like, apart from the town.
I agree with his dad now a little bit. It's light, but it's not a comedy.
Light. Yeah. It's a harmless movie for what it is, apart from the feminist views today.
Yes.
But, like, the townsfolk now, I think, are funny when, like, John Wayne's getting in a fight with someone, the townsfolk are placing bets with each other.
Yes.
Or when the first scene, when he arrives at the train station, he's asked for directions, and every town person has a different way of getting to his place.
Yes.
So
Irish
he just
directions, yeah.
So at the end, he just says, I'll just find it myself. I'll just go looking.
He is John Wayne, after all.
That's a good John Wayne impression there, Dan.
I could not do a good John Wayne impression. Don't make me.
Yeah, well,
I wouldn't say that it holds up amazingly for today's audiences, but because its pacing and storytelling techniques haven't aged the best. So I'd say if you're a newer audience, like myself, I wouldn't recommend it to you. But if you've enjoyed it before and you like that sort of period in time for your movies, then it is something.
Yeah,
you'll get a kick out of it anyway.
Is it a film you could watch with your granny, Dan?
Depends what your granny's like.
Depends what your granny's like.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Could you watch it with your granny, Felicity? No.
Yes.
Could you watch it with my granny?
Yes.
It's all very confusing, isn't it?
My granny's dead.
I know, my granny's dead.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring it up.
Oh, God.
I just went, yes. We're going back to Poltergeist to get the dead body up. To watch the...
Granny's in my granny wasn't.
If you had a choice with your grandmother, would you watch Poltergeist or The Quiet Man?
Granny's in the pool.
Quiet Man. Yeah.
Go ahead, Dan.
The Quiet Man.
All right. Shall we move on to the fun facts, or does anyone have anything else to say about it?
No, fun facts.
You've got fun facts.
Dan's
about,
fun facts. We love Dan's fun
about
facts.
About the Quiet Man?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Like, when you were saying earlier there about the woman Kate, John Ford named her Mary Kate, because in his own words, the two women he's loved the most were his wife and some relative. I don't think it was his sister, but his wife's first name is Mary, and the other person's first name is Kate, so we just combined the two.
Ah.
I like that, yeah.
Little tribute.
It won two Oscars. One was for Best Picture, which was the distribution company's first win at that, because they normally just did very
best film that year, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That surprises me now.
The company was Republic Pictures, and they only ever did low budget westerns or comedies and war movies. So this was their first film to get the Best Picture, and it got Best Cinematography as well.
Cinematography.
And Best Director.
Yeah.
I think it was only nominated for Best Director, wasn't it?
Oh.
Or did it win?
John, yeah. To Google that later.
Yeah, I do think it deserved the cinematography one, though, because it does make Ireland look very nice.
It makes Ireland look very much in the
very
old
green
sort of sense.
Yeah, very, very green.
Like you'd have Americans flocking over.
Yes,
you know,
they have.
It was one of those films.
I think there are Quiet Man tours, aren't there?
There are.
Sure, John Wayne himself is American, coming over for it. At least in the movie.
That's true. That's true. And the cottage is still there,
Galway.
Isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Kate's cottage.
Yeah, it's in Galway.
Is that one of your fun facts?
Yes. So now it's gone. Other one was the colour green is seen in every shot in the movie, which it's mostly outside in green fields, so it's not that interesting of a fact.
Every single shot, even the internal shots.
Yeah, just like someone wearing a green shirt or holding something green, or the wallpaper's green, something like that.
Somebody being green with envy.
Yeah. But there was a time in Ireland when, you know, before some of the more recent directors like Neil Jordan and Jim Sheridan and stuff, it was location primarily that, you know, when you saw Ireland being portrayed, you know, you saw, or, you know, those kind of films, like you got very excited about looking at Ireland just on the big screen, like Ryan's Daughter and...
That's true.
You know... Mm-hmm. That was your connection to Hollywood.
Well, like before people could travel, even. It was a big thing, wasn't
it? Yeah. But now, of course, we have.
Before airplanes, Dan. It's a long time ago.
I know. It's a bit beyond my time.
Any more fun facts?
During the scene where John Wayne first kisses Maureen O'Hara, she slaps him in the face. And when the actress did that, she broke a bone in her hand.
Wow, oh, she really hit him.
Yeah, she actually hit him pretty hard.
I was interested again.
Yeah.
And since the film was being... Since it was
you like the movie now, don't you?
since it was being shot in sequential order, and that's at about just before halfway through the film, she had to shoot the rest of the film without a cast, so it just made the injury much worse.
Oh no. That is a fun and interesting fact, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not very fun for her, but
not very fun for her.
Interesting fact.
Or John Wayne, who got hit in the hit in the face.
It's been some hit.
Yeah.
Must have been some hit.
A fiery Irish woman, I tell you. Don't cross them.
She suffered for her art.
She suffered for art. Speaking of suffering for your art, what are you guys going to be watching in the coming week on the film front, on the TV front? Gemma, you have something?
Girl, this week I'm actually doing something. I'm never doing. You ask me every week and I'm never doing anything.
But you're going to see?
Finished college work, so I am going to see Girlhood in the IFI, and then I possibly might see the horror film The Girl That Walked Home.
Yeah,
the
Alone.
Film.
It sounds really good, yeah. Dan, very quickly, what are you seeing?
I'm off to Tomorrowland this Saturday.
Tomorrowland. Felicity, very quickly.
I'm going to watch Lewis next week on TV, because they have a whole week of it on UTV Ireland, and I love detective stories, and I love Lewis.
Brilliant. So we'll see you all again next week.
See ya.
Bye. See ya.